Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills. I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft, and you're really going to like this episode because we're going to get to talk about Nano Server. Nano Server is a new deployment option in Windows Server 2016, and it's really a cool new option to deploy a tiny little kernel of an operating system that is very secure, very fast and efficient, and only has exactly what you want in it. So we're going to have Paul Morse back with us to describe Nano Server. He's going to tell you more about the details of what it is, the advantages, the pros and cons of when you might want to use Nano Server and when you might not want to use Nano Server, because it does not do everything that the full Windows Server does. But for many people, it's going to be a great new option to deploy both in physical and virtual machines. So Paul's going to take you through just, you know, the pros and cons of the Nano Server, what your options are for deploying and managing Nano Server, and we'll have Paul take it from here, and I'll see you next time on OEM TV.
Windows Server 2016 with a focus on a Nano Server overview. For the agenda, we'll have an overview of Nano Server. We'll look at installation and then management capabilities around Nano Server. With regard to customer challenges around servers, you know, we can see three items here: cost, security, and then density. So for cost, organizations really want to do fewer reboots. And they also want smaller server images so that they can have that last part, which is higher density. And then from security, you know, they want a smaller attack surface. Security is a huge issue these days, so organizations want to have, you know, fewer ports open and have a smaller attack surface. And they also want fewer third-party components in the operating system itself. And then in terms of density, they want fewer resources consumed and then more workloads per host. So with Nano Server, this concept of just enough OS, in other words, just enough operating system to run a workload or run multiple workloads, whatever the choice of the organization is. So Nano Server provides higher density, reduced attack surface, and really decreases the servicing requirements. So it's ideal for cloud-inspired infrastructure, meaning it's got a smaller image size, a smaller attack surface, and a faster boot time. But in addition, it's also got a faster shutdown time as well. And then it's also ideal for next-generation application development. So it's really built for containers and cloud-native applications like microservices. And you can take advantage of the full developer experience with the Windows Software Development Kit and Visual Studio. With Nano Server, it's cloud-ready when you are. So it has this concept of a zero-footprint model where the server roles and optional features actually live outside of Nano Server. You have to bring them into Nano Server in order for them to be there. And then standalone packages that actually install like applications. And there's key roles and features included with the Nano Server environment, but you need to install them. So there's Hyper-V, storage to scale out file system, clustering, IIS and DNS server. There's the core common language runtime and ASP.NET version 5. There's also full Windows Server driver support, and then there's an anti-malware optional package, and you can also put agents from System Center, Virtual Machine Manager, and Operations Management Suite. And Nano Server is optimized for containers. So you see here in the illustration, you know, Windows servers across both of these. So on the right, server core, you know, highly compatible with larger applications, and then you can also run traditional applications. But with Nano Server, it's highly optimized for containers and this concept of, you know, born in the cloud applications. The born in the cloud applications are primarily microservices. So let's take a quick look at containers. So what is a container? You know, in the past, you had hardware, operating system, and then an application, and between the OS and the app, there are Win32 or Win64 APIs that the application takes advantage of. And then with traditional virtual machines, you're basically emulating the hardware. So you have an entire operating system and application stack running on this virtualized hardware. And then with containers, you've got obviously the hardware and then the operating system, but you actually are virtualizing the operating system itself. So the kernel then would have applications that run on top of it, But with containers, a container is essentially the application and then also just the type of files that you want to have in that container so that application will run. In a traditional environment, you know, the operating system has the full Win32 or Win64 API complement, and your application has the ability to take advantage of them all. Where with a container, you're only including in the container the libraries that are necessary for that application to run. And there are Windows Server containers, so you get maximum speed and density, so you can run multiple containers on a single kernel. And then there's also Hyper-V containers, where you get isolation of those containers plus increased performance using Hyper-V. So in terms of NanoServer, you know, we're looking at footprint improvements here. So, you know, the number of drivers loaded, starting at the left, working to the right, 73 drivers are loaded versus 98 in server core. And then the services that are running with NanoServer, there's 25 versus 44 in server core. And then the number of ports that are open are 11 versus 26. This shows security perspective, but also an optimization perspective. So by loading fewer drivers, by having fewer services running, by default, you can actually have higher density on a given hardware platform. And then the number of ports that are open, or the reduced number of ports that are open, allows you to have smaller attack surface. And then resource utilization improvements. So in terms of process count versus server core, 21 versus 26. The boot IO in megabytes, 108 versus 306. And then the kernel memory of 61 versus 139. And all of these relate again back to not only the density, but the speed in which things can happen. So if you have fewer processes, a much smaller boot IO, a lot less kernel memory, the system itself boots faster and it shuts down faster. And then here we go, deployment improvements, you know, the setup time in seconds, you know, 40 versus 300. The disk footprint, and here's where we really get into some significant differences, of 0.4 gigabytes, so less than 500 megabytes for NanoServer versus 5.42 gigabytes for server core. And then the VHD size in gigabytes, again, less than 500 megabytes versus 6.3. And this can be significant. You know, it's not only the disk footprint itself and the VHD size. What that relates to is how much storage is required to handle things like a virtualization platform, like a container platform. So you can get higher density and faster deployment. If you can imagine, you know, sending 6.3 gigabyte VHDs over the network versus less than 500 megabytes is a significant difference from a networking perspective in addition to a storage perspective. So in terms of installation of NanoServer, the NanoServer in Windows Server 2016, it's an installation option like Server Core. It's not listed in setup because the image must be customized with drivers. And there's a separate folder on the Windows Server Media, and you can see it on the right-hand side there. And then for the NanoServer Quick Start, there's scripts that are included in the NanoServer folder to make it easy to build a customized NanoServer image. So there's the new-nanoserverimage.ps1, where you're actually creating a NanoServer image via that PowerShell script. And then you can also convert the -windowsimage.ps1. That's for converting it to a virtual machine. You would use these scripts to generate a NanoServer image for a physical machine or a virtual machine. And then in terms of customizing NanoServer, the things that are required. So you have to add the right set of drivers for the hardware or the virtual machine. And then you need to add the required roles or features for the server's role. And you set the administrator password, and you convert the WIM to a VHD if that's what you want. And then optionally, you can set the computer name. You can run commands on first boot. You can do a domain join. You can do dual boot. You can enable the emergency management services, and you can install agents and tools. So for installing drivers, you know, for the leanest image, install just the drivers your hardware requires, and then there's the path for setting up those drivers. But the default includes a wide range of drivers, and that also increases the size of the NanoServer itself if you use just that package. And then NanoServer includes a package of all the drivers in server core, so that OEM-drivers-package.cab is a fairly large, and it has a lot of the standard drivers in server core. And then to run NanoServer as a virtual machine install, you use the NanoServer-guest-package.cab to turn it into a virtual machine. And then installing roles and features. So the NanoServer folder has a packages subfolder, and you can see here what that is. So there's a compute package, a containers package, a DCB, Defender, DNS, DSC, failover, guest. The guest package is actually so for it being a virtual machine. You can install the web server, IIS, the OEM drivers, a storage package, which allows for that scale-out file system. Reverse forwarders, and the reverse forwarders, it allows you to capture error codes or errors that would normally be sent to a screen, because you got to remember NanoServer doesn't have a GUI. So your applications may want to send error messages to the screen or to the GUI environment, and it can't. So that's why you need the reverse forwarders to like intercept those error messages. And then obviously System Center Virtual Machine Manager has a compute package, and then just a standard agent package. And for management of NanoServer, there's actually quite a range of management capabilities, because it still is Windows Server. It's not something completely separate from Windows. It's just a toned down or slimmed down version of Windows. Though you can use remote server management tools, operations management suite, core PowerShell and Windows management and instrumentation, the PowerShell desired state configuration, Hyper-V manager, failover cluster manager, the server manager, and in addition, you know, Perfmon, event viewer, disk manager, device manager, etc. It is Windows Server, so you can manage NanoServer environments just like you would a standard Windows Server. And there's also an emergency management console, and that provides local access to basic configuration and network settings. So if you need to change the computer name, the domain and workgroup name, IP config all for information of the network adapter, you can do that as well. And here are just a couple resources that will help you get started with NanoServer and also give you more information around NanoServer.